Welcome to Big Impact Astronomy, where we explore stories of how the stars are changing lives and connecting communities around the world. From stargazing under war-torn skies to bringing science education to isolated communities, we uncover the incredible impact of astronomy beyond the observatory. This episode of Big Impact Astronomy is brought to you by Prima Luce Labs. Prima Luce Labs makes space exploration accessible for all and empowers communities worldwide through innovative educational astronomy solutions. Hello, everyone. I'm Mike Simmons, the founder of Astronomy for Equity. Welcome to another episode of Big Impact Astronomy. Today, I have a good friend from Algeria, Jamal Mamouni. He's very active around the whole continent of Africa, and I see him at meetings and so on. So we've known each other for quite a while. So Jamal, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Mike and everybody.
Thank you for joining us here. I first visited Algeria in 2007 for your festival, astronomy festival. I think I'd met you before that at a meeting in Tunisia, and I was really impressed by you and the group there. And so I was delighted to be able to visit in 2007. And you have just continued to grow and do more and more and more. You are also a past president of the African Astronomical Society. You're one of the busiest people I know in getting things done. So we've got a lot to talk about here. I want to start, first of all, your group in Constantine, Algeria, in the east of the country, if I remember correctly.
Right.
And so you have a video made on the occasion of the 100th anniversary of the IAU, which I think is a great introduction to what you're doing in Algeria. And I'm going to play that first so that I think it'll give everybody a good idea of what's happening in Algeria.
Once upon a time, in a blessed land called Algeria, a beautiful story of astronomy began, written by Algerian researchers and astronomers, who since the 10th century led this field of science in North Africa, enriching it with serious research, effective contributions, and fruitful activities. Jaya, a picturesque Algerian city, has long been a beacon of science and knowledge, which has attracted the most talented researchers, not only from Algeria, but from all over the world. It is enough to mention that Fibonacci, this mathematics genius, studied in Jaya. During the colonial era, an observatory was established in Bouzriya in 1856. However, the light of this flame began to fade after the Algerian independence, only returned to shine by the return of Algerian astronomers, culminating their efforts by launching the first graduate program in astrophysics in Blida in 1992 and Constantine by 2009, in addition to the launch of the National Observatory in Aurras Mountain Range. Coming to Algerian cities, like Constantine, where many associations and clubs carried out the responsibility to frame young people and amateur astronomers and develop their skills through tens of conferences and workshops, offering them a golden chance to explore the night sky and reveal its secrets. And here are the celebrations of the centennial of International Astronomy Union, opening the doors to each program of events aimed at bringing astronomy to the general public in all its categories, from middle and high schools, universities, cultural centers, to even kindergartens. Astronomy has been spread everywhere. Look at the smile of this little astronomer. These events and activities were well received and covered by the Algerian media of all kinds. Happy birthday, IAU. Dhikra Saida, IAU.
Terrific. It's a wonderful video, and it shows how much has been going on there in Algeria over the last, 20 years, 25 years or more?
Yes. I mean, for our association, it has been 30 years, but of course, the legacy of astronomy, as you saw, video has shown, go back to the Middle Age. What was the Middle Age in Europe in the 12th and 13th century, basically, in Algeria?
Mm-hmm. The Sirius Astronomy Club, this was your creation in the first place, Jamal, is that correct?
Yes, that's right. With colleagues, we founded this association in Eastern Algeria. Of course, there are other associations, but I think the most well-known, especially in Algeria and the North Africa and the Middle East, is certainly our association.
Yes, because it is extremely active. And, you know, I want to go straight to some pictures that we can talk about, too. In addition to that wonderful video, this will show some of the activities there, and you can give us some details on what's happening, what's happened before. Okay. Let's take a look here. So this is from last year, a festival of astronomy in its 19th version. And there's another one this year that we'll talk about. So what is this about? Who joins in with this festival?
Okay, this festival, which has been going on for the past 20 years or so, is a quite interesting one. It's a special one, which you will not see in other places in the world. First of all, of course, it has grown up much since the time you visited us in 2007. But in particular, the concept, conceptually speaking, we are bringing together astronomers, amateur astronomers with the clubs, in clubs, and the general public. So this kind of alliance is what makes it special. Astronomers are there, they give some legacy, and they give some lectures, of course, to the general public. Amateur astronomers are also in contact with the public, and they explain astronomy to the public, especially in those kind of exhibition that we have at the time of the festival. And the public is thus benefiting from both the astronomers which are there, and the clubs, astronomy clubs with the amateurs which are there. So it's a mixture of the three components that make it so special.
This is an overview of one of the earlier festivals, I think. This is more like what I attended in one of the first ones in 2007. This will prove I was there. Here we are. We got a little less gray there, Jamal.
Yes. Yeah.
I was very impressed with Constantine. I loved Algeria. The mosque that is behind there, we were right in front of the venue at the time, and I loved this mosque, so I just had to take a picture of it. But this is a huge, very beautiful mosque that I enjoyed seeing. You said this is one of the biggest in Africa, too.
At that time, it was the second largest in Africa. Now it is the third largest in Africa, called the Emir Abdelkader Mosque. Emir Abdelkader Mosque. He's a well-known freedom fighter who fought the French invasion in the 19th century. So it has been named after him.
I see. And for those who aren't aware, as in much of North Africa, the official languages in Algeria are French and Arabic?
Yeah, it's other way around. It's Arabic. And Arabic. The second language, which is used by, which is understandable, understood by many people, but although the young people are less and less prone to understand it, is the French, yes.
Oh, I see. Okay, because you speak English with a French accent.
Oh, okay, that's my special story. That's another.
That's another
layer. That's another layer.
So here's one of the activities, and there are quite a few, and I can't show everything that you guys do, but what is happening here?
So here it's a competition we were organizing for many years among the high schools in the region, like 60 high schools, where people were competing for being the laureate of that prize. And that was called the Sirta Science competition. And the prize was a very special one. The people who were winning, three out of those hundreds who are participating in the vetting, go to a place which has a, some astronomical significance all over the world. That was at some place, it was, at some time it was like the eclipse, the total eclipse in Shanghai. Another time it was the Poland with the going to the Kepler's to Copernicus house and the planetarium there and Marie Curie's place. And every time we have a special destination and those people are benefiting for it. In fact, in 2017, with the laureates have gone to Chicago in the Chicago area to observe the total eclipse there. So that's the prize. It's a very special prize, not in money, not in, but in a wonderful destinations all over the world. Yeah. We went to the Canaries Island, to the Salt Observatory, the Salt Telescope in South Africa, and every time we have a very specific, special destination.
And here are some of the laureates 1 year.
Yeah, the laureates of one of the years of where we organized the competition.
Another event going on was this.
Well, that's actually the just before the starting the competitions, people are getting ready for the questions, and oh, they have their sheets. They will in a small some moment will take out their sheets, answer sheets, and they will be competing for that thing. Yeah, that's members of the, our associations in our weekly meeting in Constantine. So you see the diversity of the people who are part of our association. And that day we have a special visit by a class, by a science class from one high school in outer Constantine. So we welcome them and we give them some lecture there. So that's why we are so numerous. We're not as numerous as that, I mean, in our weekly meeting. But
well, how many members are there?
Well, we have some like 40 or 50 ones, but the one who attend the Saturday weekly meeting are no more than 20, perhaps 20, 25.
Well, that's almost some half of the members that are attending regularly. That's very high attendance, actually.
Actually, we have more people in our association, but they have loser link with us. So we can, at some of the events, like the big events or the festivals, they could have some 60 or 70 showing up. But they're not regular in the sense of having membership cards or the old members who have not renewed, but they still are faithful to our events and they come to our events.
What's is this a club activity here then?
Yeah, in some places we organize activities for the public. So that's one of the activities. I don't know where it was, that one. Oh, it was in Algiers. That was in Algiers, yes. In one of the activities we did at the capital, Algiers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is the sort of thing, too, with booths and so on, at the Astronomy Festival that you hold every year.
No, that's not at the festival. That's a specific activity, part of a larger activity which took place at Algiers, and they invited us to have a booth there.
Mm-hmm. But you at the festival, you do have booths and other things.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, certainly.
This one's a little different.
Yeah, sometimes we have donc a winter retreat for our members. We go in the south. It's a warmer climate, and we do some astronomy activities. I mean, watching the sky watching at night, and some training that we don't have time to do in the regular time. So we go there, and that was a halt. We stopped at one specific place on our way to the south to the Sahara, where we had our retreat.
And this shows really where you were.
Yeah, we have also sometimes we stop at places, funny places where these camels here in our way to the places where we do the activities, of the retreat.
Okay, well, back to other activities here. You have a regular radio program. Tell us about that.
That's right. It's a program quite unique in our place, in our region. It's a weekly program on science, and it tackles various subjects, mostly astronomy, but in general sciences. So we have some of our young members who are part of the team, and it is broadcasted throughout the Western Algeria. Sometimes it is picked up by the national radio program, and we go national, but that has been going on for some like 20 years, this program, although we stopped it a few years ago after the COVID, and we didn't go back to it. By actually, it's unfortunate, but it has been going on for I think 15 or 20 years, but we are going to restart it possibly in some near future.
Great. So now we're getting a little farther afield. It's not just Algeria. I've been part of FAS, African Astronomical Society, for a while, and I saw you recently at the annual conference in Morocco of the African Astronomical Society. And this is relatively new, connecting the astronomy organizations and astronomers from around the continent, but you're going above and beyond. You are actually an evangelist for astronomy and take to other places to get them involved. So here's one of your visits. Where is this one?
Okay, indeed. Before I just comment, well, first of all, it is in Bamako, in Mali. That was last year. It is a high school, in fact, student, just after the lecture I gave in French, because they are French speaking. So it's nice to do that. So we took a collective picture with the students, as you see. And in fact, these missions that have been carried out and roaming around Africa for the past 3-4 years, first as a president, during the first mandate, it is to get to the enriched people, because there's many countries in Africa which have no astronomy at all. And I thought that it was the mission, one of the missions of EFAS, the African Astronomical Society, should be to go to those enriched country in Africa, in particular in the French-speaking zone, because the French-speaking Africa is nowhere to be counted upon in astronomy. The EFAS has no inroad in French-speaking Africa, because the French-speaking Africa is mostly isolated from its linguistic choice. They don't interact with other people. They don't know English. They are just French, French, French. And the French are making them feel that using French is enough to go into the world. But they learn then afterward that it's not true. They got isolated. Half of Africa has no astronomy, or has astronomy just linked the weak link with France or Belgium, but they are not participating. Have you seen French-speaking astronomers at the EFAS meeting, or even the General Assembly meeting, Mike?
No, not so much. No.
It's a tragedy that is the leftover of the French domination, which has made people feel that the French is enough to go into the world of science, and that's not true. And that's the proof of it. So I'm trying to more or less compensate for that. I've been going to Chad, Niger, Mali, Guinea, Republic, the Congo, Democratic Republic of Congo, all those French-speaking countries, trying to get them into the bandwagon of astronomy, because they have been left out, and EFAS has no specific programs for them. So I thought I should be reaching the enriched. So you were mentioning being a tele-evangelist or whatever. I will say a missionary for astronomy in the French-speaking world. That's a part of my mission. I'm a missionary for astronomy, in a sense, that sense.
And that's fabulous, too. How well is it received there? Have there been any, of your trips led to increases in astronomy being taught or practiced there?
Yes, of course. So it's not an outreach the usual way that we think of it. I call it a global outreach, because I go it's an academic outreach first. I'm going to my colleagues in the various universities, and I talk about to them. I encourage them to open to set up courses in astronomy, at least at the introductory level, even if not at a full option, and I had some mitigated success in Guinea that I have been last year. They decided to open a course in astronomy, and I have also some success in that aspect. And in addition to that, of course, I go to the civil society and I speak to people, the stakeholders there in that country, and being the representative of EFAS, they give me some special consideration, so when I go with my colleagues from that country, I go to the Ministry of Higher Education, I talk to them and so on. So I have this ability to cross this this the bureaucratic morass that somehow the people there cannot go through. So they are using me in that sense to bring to carry the message of astronomy to the deciders, the stakeholders at the ministries and so on. So that's my role to play as a AFAS representative in those countries.
Why haven't they developed astronomy on their own anyway? Even if they are isolated, there's astronomy every place, or there can be astronomy every place.
No, astronomy is quite young. I mean, even if you talk in Europe, I mean, the astronomy, and like the US, is not taught at any level until the graduate studies. In France, for example, there is no astronomy studies in undergraduate. It's just start at the graduate level in some universities, and then there's a PhD program in astronomy. Even in Italy, it's another thing. Astronomy has been introduced very strongly at universities, but it's quite a new development. But most of the physics department in our countries anyway has no astronomy at all. In our countries, let's say, which have some degree of academic achievement, like in Algeria, Morocco, Tunisia, Egypt, Ethiopia, and so on, there's no astronomy at all. It is a new development in our countries already. So it's not it's understandable that astronomy has not gotten its way yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's look again. What else that you have been doing there? This is also, I think, in Mali.
No, that's in Guinea, in Conakry. That's at the Academy of Science. I was invited by the president of the Academy of Science there, who is sitting next to me at the right, and the vice president is that lady that you see between me and the person who is raising his hand. So I was there. I gave a talk on science in general and astronomy in particular. That was in Conakry, Guinea. Back with my colleagues there from at the Department of Physics at Bamako University. And you see that always displaying the AFAS to give the idea of that we are all Africans. And this is an African adventure. The astronomy should be an African adventure. And the new science, which has to be developed throughout Africa. So that's my colleagues, physicist at Bamako University.
So let me broach this subject, and you and I know this very well, but why? Why are you a missionary for astronomy for these countries that have no astronomy? They have physics, they have other subjects. Why are you so big on bringing astronomy to these countries as well?
Because my job as president of EFAS was to, first of all, to think about the way of having astronomy to be part of an interest in the continent. And so I think that it was it's a reasonable and worthy mission to bring that idea that astronomy is the new, it's a fundamental science, really. And it's part of physics, but it could be considered as the generalization of physics. You're using physics in all the corners of the cosmos, and it's even wider than physics. So, in fact, I bring this example, if you look at the Nobel Prizes given to physicists in the past 5, 6, 7 years, you see that many of them has been given for discoveries in astronomy and astrophysics and cosmology. So you look at where the Nobel Prizes are given, and it gives you an idea what are the important things in the world of physics and astrophysics. So that's why we have to get into astrophysics if you want to be serious about this, studying the material world. The material world, most of it is outside the Earth. It's in the neutron stars and interstellar medium and all those things, all those kind of media which have a very extreme physical conditions. That's where physics should be studied, and where we can learn new things that we cannot learn in our terrestrial laboratories.
Mm-hmm. But here you are talking to some youngsters. So you're talking about astronomy to them. How is this going to benefit these kids here? Why would we want to have astronomy in the schools here?
Yeah, so indeed, in my missions to those parts of the French-speaking world, basically, I also do some outreach to the public and to the kids, those are kids in a private school, and I tell them about the wonders of astronomy, what you learn when you are studying astronomy, and that's bring motivation and excitement to them, and hopefully get them into doing some career or going into science in the high school and else. Not necessarily a propagandist for astronomy, but at least for science. And astronomy is part of it, and I'm showing them what is there in the cosmos and how the laws of physics and chemistry and can be applied to those things to understand that. And that's my message to them, basically. And that's the world of wonder and the world of discovery and how it is ordered and well explained by science.
In which country are we in here?
Oh, that's also in Republic. Democratic du Congo, that's DRC, Democratic Republic of Congo, that's in Kinshasa.
So astronomy is an inspiration for science. How many of these students would have considered going into science? They probably don't have the same sort of facilities in science that other countries do, certainly not in Europe and certainly many in Africa. So they don't necessarily see science there, but astronomy is everywhere, and they're fascinated by it. So that's a reason for bringing astronomy to them.
Yeah, the way that, of course, I see it, that's another picture in another. It's in high school. Also, that's where in Bamako. That's in Mali. The way I see it is that first of all, as I said again, it's not for them to go into astronomy necessarily. They are too young for that. To go for science, the battle is between how many people are going in science branches versus how many are going into literary studies and these things. So if I can increase the percentage of people going to science, I think I have won the day. I have been successful. Not talking about whether they will be going in astronomy or not. That's a far away, horizon for them.
And of course, more scientists, technologists, all the different STEM fields are required in these countries to develop their infrastructure, develop their ability to do things for themselves. So it's very important for that reason. You know, and this now, what about, in this case, lots of girls there, and I don't think it's all girls, but no, it's not all girls, but what is the situation in these countries too for the girls who may be interested in science? Are they discouraged, encouraged to go into science? Do they have role models in science?
Well, that's the whole point of trying to create role models for girls, because obviously the girls are not well represented in the sciences. Although there is a great progress in that respect in many countries. In my country, that's the other way around. I mean, we sometimes have in science classes more girls than boys, but in other parts, like in those countries, like the Sahel country and the people who are in a lesser, not as advanced in the teaching and the academics, obviously the girls are not are the minority in sciences, but there's progress taking place now in change of the mentality of the people, of the parents in general.
Another one with AFAS in the background, and another banner for African Science Stars, which is a magazine. Where are you here?
Here I am in Dodoma, in Tanzania. That was 2 weeks ago, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's a lecture I gave to physics students at Dodoma University, which is the capital of Tanzania. And I was in the extended AFAS mission to Tanzania. And during one of the visits, they organized for me a talk about astronomy and science and physics in general in that department, the physics department. Mm-hmm. And there's also all the teachers out there, the professors out there, by the way. So it's great, because often professors feel that they have no time to waste with this kind of lectures, but they were all there. All the professors of that department were there at that time.
Ah, but here you are with some professors and some other officials also in Tanzania.
Yeah, that's in Dodoma. That's at the Ministry of Communication and I think on Innovation or something. This is my colleague Jiwaji Norali, that I think you know, Mike, at the right, and some of his colleagues. So we are meeting with the people, the vice director of that ministry, and talking about astronomy and some of the project that they have. In particular, they have a project of a radio telescope at Kilimanjaro, and they didn't get the full support and financial support for the project. So I came there at as a lobbying for trying to do some lobbying and trying to say, well, it's an interesting project. It has a higher, expectation at the as African level. There's a big SKA going on, the Square Kilometer Array, which will make Africa, a hotbed of radio astronomy in the future. They can integrate their project into that network and all these things. So I did the job of lobbying for them and trying to encourage the people there to give attention and bring the African dimension to that project.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very important. And there's also another observatory, a teaching observatory that you visited. I gave a lecture to the workshop there at Mount Meru Astronomical Observatory in Tanzania. I've been involved with, had a hand in getting started and still take part. And I did that remotely, but you were there on hand doing a lot of the teaching, I think.
That's right. So that's my, with the NAIC, the National Coordinator for Education of Tanzania. That's Elinima Nasari. So he was my guide and my, who organized that. That was a teacher, TTP, the teacher, teaching training program. Yes. Yeah. So I was with them. In fact, you might have some pictures of that, no?
Yeah,
so that's a small observatory. It's in fact on the mount opposite to the Kilimanjaro mount. It's just 20 kilometers far. And it's not at too high altitude and like Kilimanjaro mount, but it is a small facility, almost the only one that there is in Tanzania. They have, a 350 millimeter telescope there, and it's working perfectly. Mm-hmm. Do some pedagogical work with the school kids and so on, which are visiting the observatory, but not really any science work at this point.
Yeah, the purpose for it is not really science, but education. And this was started under Chuck Reilly some years ago. It started under a program I ran. And the purpose is to train the teachers in astronomy, because there is very little science in many of the schools around in that area. It's a very rural area outside of Arusha, right next to a game park. And they don't have any facilities. They don't have any hands-on experience with things. So that's all about. It's been to bring some science training to the teachers through astronomy, because they have great skies there. They're, that's the ironic thing, Jamal, that in the cities, and especially over here, we go into the big cities of a wealthy country and you've got no astronomy because you can hardly see anything. But in the rural areas of Africa, you've got the best astronomy lab in the world. So you've got everything there. So
that's
try
right.
to take advantage of that. Yeah,
exactly. Precisely this.
Well, here is now African Science Stars. This is another, I don't know, I don't remember if this is related to AFAS or not, or it's an independent thing, but it's certainly another attempt with the magazine to highlight the people around Africa who are doing important things in astronomy and building the nation's STEM education facilities.
So that's part of EFAS indeed. It's an independent body which used to be this magazine used to be published in South Africa for South Africans, but with the founding of EFAS it has gotten a new mission to be the African journal. So they have expanded their scope and they are speaking now to the whole of Africa, and it's magazine, general science and general magazine, especially in astronomy. And in fact, they have partly funded my visit there to the Tanzania, by the way. That's not EFAS who funded there. They didn't have money for that, but the African Science Stars, that's why I'm pushing and publicizing their magazines here and there, because they were supporting my visit there. That's a visit was at the at COSTEC, the Commission for Science and Technology in Dar es Salaam, where also I did some lobbying, if I may say. So we talked with my colleagues there, Jiwaji in particular. We talked to the heads of those departments and the Department of Technology and Science, and also telling them the importance of astronomy, the strategic importance of astronomy in the teaching of science and also in socioeconomic development, in some aspect of socioeconomic development, ecotourism, and also the some projects, astronomy projects like radio telescope and these kind of facilities.
Well, and then bringing us back to Algeria for a moment. This is the poster for the 20th National Festival in Popular Astronomy. This is coming up in May, and this has come quite a way since I attended the one quite a long time ago. I hope I can get a chance to make it back there this year, Jamal. We'll see.
And you're most welcome, Mike. It's
I would love to. And in particular, Astronomy for Equity has, as you know, because you're taking part in it, a program having to do with the sun and using the sun and sunlight in order to study physics, to learn about the sun, sunlight, the spectrum, and all the different things. So maybe we'll get a chance to go there and show that off, or you will. Now, this festival is open to everyone. Tell us a little bit more about the festival itself.
Okay, so this festival that I go back to the early part of the century of the millennium, that was started in 2002, really, and now it is at its 20th edition. Each time has a specific theme. This theme today, this year, is the sun, which is that now reaching the maximum of its cycle, of its 11-year cycle, and we thought it is worthy to let the people know about the sun, our star, and also to speak about something which is much spoken today, is the climate change. Although there's no obvious relationship between both of them, we know that astronomically speaking, climate change is mostly due to how we mess up the Earth, really. But anyway, it's a change to bring the two subjects, astronomy and the big sphere of people of the that we see around the world of climate. Various climate. Things which happening. So we thought that the public should know about those aspects, sun first of all, and the climate change at the same time. So we have lectures, we have workshops for all categories of people, for kids, for high school students, and lectures for the general public. And we have various activities, sky viewing at night, sun observing at the day, a big exhibition. So that's what at the menu of that meeting, if you can make it for that. You, Mike, obviously, but also all the people, we are happy to welcome you. In fact, what we do, that's as much as we can do. We take care of the accommodation. The accommodation is fully taken care of by our association. You just have to fly in. And then we, at the airport, in incoming and outgoing, you will be taken care in between. So that's my invitation to anybody from wherever he is in the world to come to our to this meeting. That's in the early May. It's the first and the second and third of May. So that's the period of that happening. And the 20th anniversary. So it's the longest running program of astronomy, popular astronomy, in the continent, obviously, even in the Middle East and Africa, as I say. So it is quite an anniversary. I mean, we are really, you see, we are holding the line, and we are proud of having almost, except the 2 years of the COVID, we have had this festival going on since early 2000.
Well, it's something to be proud of for sure. It is unique on the continent, as far as I know. there are very few things like it, and I highly recommend it for anybody that wants to attend. And we've put the link to the information about people who want to participate on the screen here. So I would recommend it. Algeria is a lovely place to visit. And, you know, beyond that, as far as visiting Algeria, in a couple of years, you're going to have a total solar eclipse going across your country. I may be there for that. I haven't quite decided. We're going to talk about plans for that, but I'm sure you guys are going to have plans maybe to head down into the Sahara Desert, where the conditions will be very good.
Not really, because the Sahara Desert will not be in the path of totality. So don't go for the Sahara Desert. Will be, that's the northern part of Africa, Algeria, that the totality path will be going through. So after that, yes, go to the Sahara Desert if you can, but during the eclipse time, stay in the eclipse zone, the eclipse path.
Do you have any plans in any sort of public programs for the eclipse in 2027?
We're getting to that because it is going to be close to our place, basically 50 or 100 kilometers from Constantine. And wow, that's where the path of totality will go before going to Tunisia and other countries. And we certainly will have a big program organizing people who are going to come, not only from Algeria, but in fact, very few. I don't expect many people to come from Algeria. People are more like sedentary people. But from all over the world, they'll be coming there. So we're trying to think about how we could organize something at a large scale, along with the with local authorities and agencies, touristic agencies possibly. So we certainly will open it to the public and try to welcome the people in the best possible way if they are coming from out overseas.
Well, you've been to a few eclipses, and you know I chase them around the world when I can. So we'll have to talk about that.
Yes, I am. In fact, at the Arabic level, I think I am the record-breaking eclipse observer. So not too many. It's not like the big, hunters like you, person or others. I have 5 or 6 in my pockets.
That's a total one.
That's great. It's an Arab record breaking, I think.
Yes.
And North Africa, at least.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I hope to see you a little bit later this year, if not, certainly in 2027. And thank you for all you do, Jamal, both in Algeria, which is tremendous, but around the whole continent. I'm doing a lot of work there too. Astronomy for Equity is doing work in a number of the countries, including Algeria, working with you on one program. And it's, I think, really, really important. The infrastructure has built up with the African Astronomical Society and others. So the abilities are there to get things done. So continue to do it. So thank you for everything. And thank you for joining me today, Jamal.
Thank you for welcoming me on your program and your podcast. And I'm happy to have been sorting out things with you. And certainly there'll be other opportunities to talk more and work more together in trying to develop astronomy and help people appreciate the wonder of the world, and in particular what is beyond above our heads.
Yes. Well, we'll be talking for sure, as we always have. So see you soon. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been another episode of Big Impact Astronomy. I'm your host, Mike Simmons. Jacob Sager is our technical producer. Our audio engineer is Ali Pelfrey. Big Impact Astronomy is produced by Astronomy for Equity, bringing astronomy to unserved communities worldwide. This episode of Big Impact Astronomy was brought to you by Prima Lucha Labs. Prima Lucha Labs makes space exploration accessible for all and empowers communities worldwide through innovative educational astronomy solutions. Learn more about Astronomy for Equity, including how you can support us, at Astro4Equity.org.